Hey, lovers and friends, I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
I don't even think you need wine.
No.
Never have. Never will.
Okay, so who's hosting?
You take the best notes. By the way, we are recording.
Oh, hello. Hello. I just have to read my little hand towel because I think this is words to live by. Mm. It says, and then the wine whispered, say what you're really thinking. Because I hold back.
Yeah,
I don't need that.
So today we are discussing Crazy Stupid Love.
The movie. Such a good show.
It was filmed in 2011, directed by Glenn Ficarra and John Requa.
I give you an A plus.
This is according to my written notes.
Oh.
No, yeah, John Requa.
Yeah, sounds right. We'll just go with it.
Glenn Ficarra and John Requa. It was written by Dan Fogelman.
Dan, you dirty dog.
Dan! Dan! Is the man.
You are Dan's the man. This movie was spectacular in so many ways. Mm-hmm. We just watched it together, and I think that we were laughing and cheering. And
yeah.
Oh my gosh, so many sounds were coming from us. I couldn't believe it.
Jaws dropped.
It's jaws dropping.
There was some swooning.
There was definitely
not at all.
Because guess who's Ryan Gosling?
I know.
He's like amazing. We love him in so many ways.
Before the Barbie movie, like all of a sudden, all girls 20 and under, 25 and under, were like, who is this guy?
We knew him.
Oh yeah,
he's a dreamboat. But now a younger generation.
For me, I think this is one of his first dreamboat roles because this preceded.
Oh, he's done so many.
This preceded La La Land. This preceded the Barbie movie.
This
was like 2011. So this was like 14 years ago. This was like introduction to Ryan.
Ryan and I are the same age. So.
Is he your spirit animal?
Can I talk about my spirit animal I got this morning?
Oh, from yoga?
Oh,
okay.
It's a groundhog.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Letting go.
Letting go.
Right?
Huh.
That's what the groundhog
is. So how did you interpret that for you in your life?
I have no idea, but my spirit animal right now is a groundhog, so y'all can take it as... that
letting go,
yeah,
letting go of my children.
They're at that age.
I don't know. Okay, but Ryan Gosling, I'm just going to talk about how he moves his body well. His whole. His acting is amazing. And you know the other actor who did that was pretty amazing.
Maybe a glass of wine ago, I could have like.
Let me tell you,
context clues. We're gonna get this.
Yes, I believe.
Oh fuck,
Glenn Paul.
No, we know.
Is he the other
baby. Let baby do their dance. Baby.
Oh, Patrick Swayze.
Yes. See, oh my God, I knew you'd get it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Patrick Swayze was a dancer.
From the
baby to a dance.
I'm doing like the little.
She looked like Ashley Graham. If I were a rich man, Courtney would be swinging all day.
So Patrick Swayze, yes, was a dancer.
Yes,
before he was a. I mean, I think there's something to be said about being able to move your body and projecting yourself on the screen in that way.
Being able to
and
move
Ryan
so
Gosling
important.
Has that because I think he was a dancer before.
Was he really?
Yeah.
He was in the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, in La La Land. So yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Dude, how do these Mickey Mouse Club producers are like, we're going to pick children that are going to grow up to be super hot?
Well, okay, if you ever have read Jeanette McCurdy's book. Oh, sorry, not super hot, but you can just tell. Anyway.
They're like talking about
these childhood actors and actresses. Like, yeah. They have to take like 10 different dance lessons a week, and they are constantly voice lessons and
makes
from
sense.
One thing to the next to the next to the next. It's non-stop.
It makes sense to me.
That's, I mean, they harness these skills at a young age.
Well, this movie.
They wanted to do that with me when I was six, and my mom was like, damn.
She used to stay at home and, you know, watch her older children.
Yeah, no, I was the youngest. I'm like, she should have told
me. That's what I mean. Like, do you need to babysit your older siblings?
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. So this movie is so great in so many ways. I mean, we're going to go into it, but there are so many facets of this film that are so great. And they really look into so many different love interests in so many different facets
and
so many
scandals
and so many ways of like loving people
and humanism. Everyone in this show is likable. Everyone's human. You get everyone. Like, you can't fault anyone really.
We were talking about this. There's no one that's like really the bad guy. I mean, everyone is just trying their best and trying to make sense of the world they're living in and trying to follow their passion and their love
and their
interest.
Feelings. Yeah, everyone's
so
nice.
Kicks off with.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to call
him
Scott. Should I read
the summary?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
The film follows a series of interconnected love stories centered around Cal Weaver, a recently separated man who learns how to be more romantic and charm women. The film was released in the United States. Anyway, it goes
2011.
On. But, okay, there you go. Bam.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Short, sweet. That's what it's about.
Mm-hmm. A man who figures out how to be more romantic.
Well, okay, so
I think that's such a very small part, though. Like, they're sitting at dinner. It's date night. They have a babysitter. They've got a 13-year-old boy, and their youngest daughter is...
She looks probably about 10-ish.
If that.
Yeah, 9.
And they're just kind of, like, quietly trying to figure out what... They've been together for at least...
Well,
25, 30
okay,
years
so Julian Moore plays.
Yeah.
So Cal Weaver is played by Steve Carell, and his wife is Emily, and
she's
played
44.
By Julian Moore. And Julian Moore looks a lot more put together than Cal. Cal looks like she's like wearing these weird like orthotic running shoes.
He looks way older than he is.
He's just not put together. And she really looks
put
together.
She's a super hot 44-year-old.
Yeah.
And he's a super not 44-year-old.
And he's like going on about, well, what he's going to walk on and bang. And she's like, you know.
Just tell me what you want.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, she says, I want a divorce.
Yeah. Obviously, he's going to say something from the menu. But
He's completely surprised.
He has no idea, and he's very upset because these these two have been together since they were in junior high, right? Is that what's
junior
like
high, high school? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's all he's known. And so he's completely thrown for a loop.
And she's 44 and going through a midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love it. He's so upset because she tells him not only does she want to drive. Yeah.
There, she's driving the car. Yeah. She's sitting there and he's just kind of like.
She's in shock.
In shock mode. And she's just in chatterbox mode.
Because she's like, if you don't talk, I have to explain everything. And yeah. I talk too much. And she's. And he's like, I don't want any more. I don't want any more information. I don't want any more information. Stop talking. Stop talking.
And she tells him, I've been sleeping with David something or other.
Yeah,
I don't know. Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, Kevin Bacon.
He plays Kevin Bacon. It's
he plays Kevin Bacon.
David Letman.
Kevin Bacon plays David Letman.
David Letman. I slept with David Letman. And he opens the door.
To talk. And he's like, if you keep talking, I'm going to throw myself out of the car. And she doesn't even hear it. And he throws himself.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even throws. He just opens the door and like falls out. And she's like, ah, what are you doing?
Yeah. And he's like. Stop talking.
So they get home, and the babysitter greets them at the door, and they are in this mode, and they don't notice their children right there waiting up for them.
Yeah.
Do you remember being the babysitter like, oh, just go to bed?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. There were some kids that did, some kids that didn't. I mean, but these are older kids.
Yeah,
and she's like 13. No, wait.
Well,
no.
13. The babysitter
is 17. She's 17.
Oh, yeah.
And
so we find out that the babysitter is in love with
the dad,
Cal. She has a crush on him. And when I think she finds out then.
Well, he has to drive her home.
She finds out that they're getting a divorce.
Yeah,
because
they get home and she's like, oh, how is your interview? He's like, oh, well, she just told me she wants a divorce.
And
he's in shock. And she's like,
kids are there.
And the kids are there. She finds out, but she's kind of excited because she has a crush on him.
They're driving awkwardly back in the car. Like, he drives her home. And I don't know. For me, I babysat so freaking much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just remember those awkward drive homes.
Oh my
with
God,
the dad.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, we all did that.
Yeah. And yeah, we were just joking about how, like, does anybody do that still?
I don't know.
I would never put a girl in that situation.
No,
I don't think I would in that situation. Yeah.
Like, now that's just
not acceptable.
It's just
like,
awkward
yeah.
in so many ways.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It's just weird. I wouldn't do it either. But so she's about to tell him that she loves him, and what does he say? He says something like,
can we just not tell your parents? Because their parents,
oh,
her
best
parents
friends.
Are like the best friend couple of this couple.
Yes.
Yeah. She's
just
like,
don't say anything to your
parents.
Don't
tell you.
Yeah.
We want to tell them in our own time.
Yeah.
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 And as she's telling him that she's developed a crush on him.
Yeah.
But she's cut off by that. So
yes.
She's like,
you
don't
hear her say it.
Yeah,
he
she says it, he
it.
Doesn't hear it.
No.
He's
meanwhile, his son is in love with her.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And the most awkward thing ever.
She's adorable. And
she's babysitting that night, she opens his Ryan's
the son's door.
The son's door open and he is masturbating. He's like, she's like, oh, well, oh, goodness. Okay, sorry. And then he comes out later. And he's like, I'm sorry you had to see that. But I am masturbating to you because I love you.
She's like, stop. You're making it worse. Stop. Just
13.
Stop.
I can't.
So I have
so
to,
forward.
Really,
okay.
There's
yeah.
so much that happens here in the first,
yes.
like, 15 minutes.
Oh,
all
God.
Of these things happen.
Crazy.
Well, the whole movie is just packed with.
Constant.
So
yes.
Cal is now
devastated. He drops the babysitter off. He goes to the bar.
Yeah.
Yes.
He writes the bar.
Yep. He drops the babysitter off and goes
and
straight to the bar.
And he's at the bar observing.
There's a fancy.
Complaining about, oh, I just got left.
It's a fancy bar. We're like people who look snazzy and are dressed to the nines. And they're young, and they're looking good.
It's this.
And they're all wearing tailored suits.
Yeah. He goes there, and he's he starts going there after this. He goes there that night, and then he keeps going. He moves out of the house.
His daughter was there.
Yeah.
But she was there before.
No, yeah, they're not in the same.
She was there before he was there.
And at viewers, if you haven't seen this movie, we're going to kind of give you a little, we're going to spill some beans here. Hannah is Cal's daughter.
Oh, I did. I spilled those beans.
That's okay. I mean, like, how can you, I mean, I don't know. I guess we're going to do it. You can't talk about the movie without that sort of maybe.
Yeah,
that
I mean, so.
But there's another side story.
Mm-hmm. Before he arrives, and she has no idea about the parent situation.
Oh, yeah.
No.
But Ryan Gosling shows up.
And hits on
her. But Cal and Emily have Hannah when they're very young. So she is a law student at this time.
Yeah.
And she's the
She's actually
student.
Done with law school. She's studying for her boards.
Yes.
The bar.
Yeah.
The bar.
And so we don't know this. We're getting to know Emily and Hannah in a whole different way. Not connected to Cal and Emily.
Not at all.
She's a smart whippersnapper, and she's got it going. And she thinks she's going to get married to this
human
boyfriend who is
human Valium.
Who? What does that mean?
That's what her girlfriend calls
her girlfriend calls her
fiance boyfriend guy.
He's not a fiance.
He's not a fiance. Yeah.
What is that?
Valium is just very sedating.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like, he's human.
He's boring.
Valium. He's so
I would say
boring.
He's like, so boring, he puts anyone to sleep.
Yes. Oh, doesn't she say something else like, if he wants you, then who would want me?
Yes, because she's like, wait a second. If your human Valium boyfriend doesn't want you, then who's going to want me? Because, you know. She's like, Emma Stone, you're adorable and great and amazing. Yeah. And if this loser guy doesn't think you're good enough to marry, then who's going to, you know, then what can I expect from me?
Yeah. Well,
but then Hottie Hotness shows up.
Right.
They go, are they at the bar before?
They are at the bar before.
This is not even related to that.
Yeah. No.
They're just, Hannah and her friend are at the bar. And
Ryan Gosling,
who's Jacob in the movie. Jacob is the sexiest, suavest like guy who comes walking over, and he knows the moves and says the things. But Hannah's not. She gets it. She's like, sorry.
He's pretty confident.
He just thinks he's going to take her home, but she's like, no.
He's got these moves, and he does that them on everyone.
Mm-hmm. We find out.
Them.
Yeah, we find out later that
he gives them a drink, and he just is only interested in them, and then he takes them home, and that's his moves.
Yeah,
and there's a whole lot of girls that will fall for that,
absolutely.
But not Hannah.
No.
She kind of basically tells him she's not interested in lips.
Which I love her girlfriend. Her girlfriend's like, no, she's way interested because you are way more interesting than her current boyfriend. I love the girlfriend. She's so funny.
But Cal is also, not only has he met Hannah at this bar, Jacob has not only met Hannah at this bar, but he's also paying attention to Cal. Who has, he's just been sitting at the bar for nights on end, being depressed and
telling everyone about his miserable experience.
He's in a sad place.
Yeah.
And we find out later that he actually is, thanks. Mm. What is this? Mango, orange, cacao?
Orange,
yeah.
I got everyone their own piece.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Wow, that is so good, Avery.
That is like
when Bob and I went to Hawaii, Avery was just like,
that is so good.
Last time Bob and I went to Hawaii, we got Avery a whole bunch of candies from Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Asian candy? Mm-hmm. This is Asian candy we're eating?
Yeah.
They have orange Kit Kats and we don't?
Yes.
I'm pissed.
A bunch of different Kit Kats.
Yeah. Avery, tell them, so in Asia, like, it's cultural to when you travel.
In Japan, whenever you travel,
it's kind of expected that you bring back some form of like little thing for your coworkers, normally mm-hmm. food. So because of that, places in Japan have like kind of like companies make like sets, little sets of like individually packaged foods for you to buy and take to your coworkers
okay.
when you get back from traveling.
Cute.
And so Kit Kat has, in Japan, there's the most flavors of Kit Kats because each like Kit Kat's kind of specific to its own area.
Its own city.
So
yeah.
How did you come across these amazing Kit Kats?
They were in the box.
So Bob and I, last time we went to Hawaii, we bought a ton of Asian candy for Avery when we came back because that's kind of a fun thing that we do. And so when we went this time, we were like, oh, what do you want when we go to Hawaii? Is there anything you want us to bring you back? She's like, get me more Asian candy. But when we were down there, we were in Kona on the Big Island, and there literally wasn't a cute Asian candy selection like there was on Kauai. And so I ordered her just a set of Asian candy, a box of Asian candies, you know, online. And in it, they had 10 different flavors of Kit Kats and stuff. And then Avery was like, oh, well, you know why there's so many Kit Kats. And she shared that cool information.
I had no idea. Those yeah. were the best Kit Kats, and I'm pissed yeah. at America.
No, it's lingering in my mouth. Is yummy.
It's so good.
Sucks.
Yeah. So the box that we got had 10 different flavors of Kit Kats in it.
Yum. That's
that was delicious.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for sharing, honey.
Yep.
Oh, that's Bob's lunch for tomorrow.
All of these?
I mean, you can take one if you want.
I didn't get it.
Oh, you haven't had any yet?
No, she didn't have
any. Oh, no. Eat a couple out of there, babe. Okay. Yeah, definitely have a few.
Yeah, I'm so hungry.
Yeah, I'm sorry, sweetie. Sorry, you'll have to.
I'm not.
I was trying to sneak in and give you guys a quiet.
Oh, no.
There's nothing quiet about it.
I guess they're so good.
you're just so cute
good.
That you shared with us. Thank you, guys.
I know. Thank
Aww.
You. Jacob is watching Cal failing and being miserable, and he decides, we learn later that his own father was left, his mother left him, and he was kind of sad and miserable. And
Jacob's mother.
Yes, yeah. Or father. And Jacob's mother
left
his father, sort of high and dry, and he was
And his father was a really nice
yeah.
man, very mm-hmm. successful.
Taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
And I think he sees that in Cal and doesn't want that to happen to
passes
Cal.
Passes away.
Died.
Right? His dad
when
died
younger.
When
yeah.
he was younger.
Yeah.
And
so
his mom
his
was
mom,
kind of
was
emotionally
pretty,
unavailable.
Yes. Pretty self-centered.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, but
so,
so he sees, yeah.
Yeah, he sees something in Cal that he doesn't want him to end up that way also. So he offers to help Cal, like, reinvent himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
because,
he's got a tough love. Like, he tells Cal some pretty harsh, straightforward.
Yeah,
like,
he's like, you, in those
things.
Levi's, you look like you have a mom bum.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. it's pretty freaking hilarious. What do you say?
Yeah.
Ryan, he said something that was like, yeah, the mom bum comment. He's like, gosh, could you be Maureen? He's like, actually, yes. Your wife cheated on you because you probably lost sight of who you are as a man, as a husband, and as a lover.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I kind of really
like
that
yeah,
saying.
That's the meanest thing.
That's a like, really, that's a really true statement. And hard to hear, but you know, in a way, it's like you need to kind of look at yourself and change because what's happening to you is not working for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to look at yourself, but
yeah.
you kind of have to right now if you want a different life. And I'm offering to help you change.
It's so adorable.
Yeah.
They go shopping. Together.
Yeah, that
so
was
cute.
Really,
oh my gosh.
So sweet. So yeah, uh-huh. Ryan or Jacob takes Cal shopping and they drop a bunch of money on really nice clothes.
He looks good.
He gets
does
a haircut.
Like
he looks great.
It's
Dude.
Funny what a haircut can do.
Yeah,
right?
He's like
he went
Stop with the Supercuts haircut.
And then, Jacob has Cal kind of in the background listening to Jacob's conversations with women and how he picks them up and the lines he uses.
It was just so funny.
Hey, fancy face, you want to go out?
Yeah. I love, okay, so this movie has so many amazing quotes. I love that human volume, which the girlfriend says to Emma Stone, you know, about her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. He's human volume. Mm-hmm. You know, and then there's like the breakdance fighting one or something like that. I don't remember those. And then there was the, did you just Miyagi me?
Yeah.
When I don't know what Miyagi means.
Because the Karate Kid, Miyagi, he's like told him to paint the fence. Kid. Okay, so painting the fence, he's like, dude, you just had me do all this manually. He's like, paint the fence.
Wax on, wax off.
You just taught me how to do karate with wax on, wax off, and paint the fence. And he's like, yeah, see, I was teaching you, so I Miyagi you. It's just a comment like, oh, did you just Miyagi me? Like, he was like, yeah, you just listened to me doing all these things and stuff like that.
It was a Karate Kid reference.
It was a it was amazing.
Nice. But I do know the wax on, wax off. I've never heard Miyagi.
Yeah, so, yeah. Did you just
Me? I was just, like, super confused by that.
I know. It's a great quote, and it will now live on in our friendship forever.
Forever?
Okay. Forever.
Forever.
So, he finally is ready to
pick up women on his own.
Yeah.
So who does he pick up, Courtney?
What is her name?
Marissa
Tomei. Yes.
She's adorable.
She's so cute.
And
she's sexy and cute at the same time.
Oh, yeah. And that's
I used to say that to my wife.
That is what he tells her. That just spins her. She's like, she's in when he says that. Because he says a lot of things.
I mean,
trying to
if
pick her
you
up,
were
but,
told this barrage of like raw, honest things like that, I would be like,
that's kind of hot.
You're not ready. That's,
but in some senses, she's like, you know, I mean, she was just looking for someone for the night. She wanted to feel special. And he's like, you're the type of girl who's just like, you're the perfect mix of sexiness. You're the person that I would love to make my ex jealous about. Like, if my ex sees me, then knows that I was with you, she'd be so jealous because you're so cute and you're so...
Well,
she wasn't looking for ever after. She was looking for a confidence boost for
her. It made her feel good. Mm-hmm. And she was in. So, but that's all he needed. He was like, after that, he was Mr. Gigolo. Yeah. He walks into the bar the next night, and then
it starts
a whole barrage of women.
Yeah.
Every night, he's like with another woman. He's got it going.
And rumors.
What'd you say? He's leaning into the conversation. He's talking.
he's
saying the right things. Women are all about him. And Jacob's kind of sitting back and going, yeah, I did my stuff. Like, look at him. He's doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So all this is happening, but his wife, Emily, is kind of, she is still wondering about herself and what decision she made. Was it the right thing? She's not
quite sure yet. She feels anxious. She's like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm a cheater. I can't believe.
And
am
I
having a
midlife
crisis?
But
I'm not happy, so I want to change something.
But the guy that she had,
Kevin Bacon? She slept with Kevin
Bacon. Yeah. What was his name? Letman?
David
Letman.
Everybody knows about David Letman.
And you think he's going to be a complete creep, but he is really
nice.
He's
actually
nice. He really likes her.
He does.
He said to her, I woke up excited to go to work every morning just to see you, and that does not happen for accountants.
Yes. It's true. And he was like, I never had any intentions of falling in love with a married woman, but I did. So he actually was not a creeper. Nobody in this movie was a bad person.
No, and he tries because they go out to dinner and he like just says, I know you're interested in what ballet.
Yes.
Can I take you with to actually go see a
ballet?
She's
never been to a ballet. She went to ballet dancer when she was a little girl, and she's never been to
either. He's trying so hard.
He is. He's just trying to, like, make friends with her son a little bit, and he's like, too soon, dude, too soon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The other great relationship, it's not even a relationship, but Cal's son is 13, and he is so in love with this babysitter.
Yeah, who's 17.
So in love
with his dad.
Yeah. And it's not a quiet love. He is very
creepy about it.
Ooh,
I mean, he texts her. He's like, he's not shy about telling her.
At high school, he builds a scarlet letter like, I will stand on the podium to express my love. I will not hide from my love from you kind of a thing. Like, he is over the top.
Yeah, and he
gets
adorable.
Yeah, I don't know how believable that is.
He gets in trouble. He gets in trouble because in class they're talking about the scarlet letter, and he feels so frustrated about his parents getting a divorce and all the things. He stands up.
It is for assholes. Because anybody who falls in love is just an asshole. Asshole. Like, he gets in trouble for saying the most swear words in any class ever.
Yeah.
And guess who his teacher is?
Dun, dun, dun.
The confidence
lady.
Sure.
Yes.
So Lady Cal has his first little
thing-a-ma-ding. Yeah, the one who he says she's the perfect combination of.
So Cal and Emily are called to meet with the teacher. Mm-hmm. And before you know who the teacher is, they're sitting outside the classroom and it's quiet and they're actually having a conversation. And I mean, he's really changed a lot, made a lot of change in his life. And she recognizes that. And they kind of have a really heart to heart. And then they go into this classroom with this teacher who is not happy with Cal for the way he never called her back
after they had their
and I think she probably thought there was something there.
Yeah, I think she did, because he was rawly honest with her, which was attractive in a weird, funky way.
It is very attractive.
It is very attractive. Someone chooses to be vulnerable. I mean, vulnerability is very attractive.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So that doesn't end very well.
No.
Awkward. There's a lot of awkward.
And then, so while Cal is kind of preoccupied with all these other things, his daughter Hannah passes the bar, and she thinks, because her boyfriend said, if you pass the bar, we're going to have a party here, and I'm going to make a big announcement. She thinks he's going to ask her to marry him.
I mean,
he only asked her to join the law firm.
Yeah.
And she's really disappointed, and she's like, fuck you. Excuse my language. What? Wasn't there that guy at that bar? Yes. I am going to go find him, and I'm going to just have myself a good old time. Mm-hmm. So it's raining out. This scene is so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The three of us were screaming in joy because it was
cute.
So
he was about to, like, make his move on some other girl.
Yeah, he's just about to ask girl, you want to get out of here to go fuck? And in comes Emma Stone.
And she is beautiful and
soaking wet.
And what does she say to him?
She says, I am sexy. I am R-rated sexy, and we are going to bang.
She goes, do you want to leave? And he says, yeah. So they leave. They go to his apartment, which is so swanky and sleek.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And she goes, and she's like, how does this go? I mean, like, what do you do next? Like, how do you do this?
Because she's like a relationship girl, and she's not a one-night stand girl. She doesn't know how one-night stand
works. She knows how he works. So she's I know you like get girls and you bring them home.
How
does this work? What do you do? And he goes, well, did you see...
And he's like, well, I haven't, what are your moves? What are your moves? And she finally convinces him to say,
I can't remember the movie.
So scene from Dirty Dancing. The scene, you know, in Dirty Dancing when Patrick Swayze like lifts her up at the end and then brings her down. I do that. She's like, and that works. And he's like, yeah.
Every time.
And she's like, it wouldn't work on me. And so then they go into the scene.
She's like, you need to take your shirt off.
Yeah, so he has his shirt off and he looks amazing.
Like, you're photoshopped.
Yeah, you look like photoshopped. He's like, now you take off. And she's like, no, you look all perfect. And so she's
not going to do that.
Yeah, so she's like, you know, she starts off like being femme fatale and then she's like just adorable.
Yeah.
I can't say, what is the word that makes you so incredibly excited about a love scene in a movie or book? It is that thing where you're like, oh, it's happening.
Yeah,
be together. It's like it's good. It's
I don't know what your word is, but this is
one of those moments.
Because it's so cute and it's so playful, and you see them both, and she's like, and she just.
Perfect.
Yes, it's perfect because honestly, it's her just true, genuine, like who she is. And she, you know, and it's so obvious that she's trying to be this like femme fatale, but she's not. And it's just so cute that she's just so sweet and so cute. And he's just going, oh my God, she's adorable because she is.
So they spend the whole night just laughing and talking and getting to know each other.
Yeah. Well, they try to do the whole sexy thing, but then she's all just like adorable.
He never talks about him. He never, it gets personal with a woman.
Yeah.
And he says to her, ask me something about myself. Ask me about me. Uh-huh. And she does. And then that lends itself into them talking all night. And he is
completely smitten
by her at the end of the night. Mm-hmm. He is, and she with him. Mm-hmm. They're both just, they're in.
They're in.
Yeah, they like laugh their asses off and they just connect.
I don't think he'd ever gotten to like actually know someone or never be seen.
No, and she saw him. And she was just so genuinely true to her, who she was too. Mm. It was just so cute.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
Yeah. They're done for.
Yeah. They're just like, whoa, this is a game changer.
I loved that so much because I think it's important to establish like friendship.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Before.
Of course, they're sexually attracted to each other. Well, but they kind of push that aside for a minute. I mean, it's there. The sexual electricity is there.
Yes.
But it's more than that. Their chemistry is coming together and it's not just sexual. They kind of like just being together and
as a
viewer, that is so exciting.
Oh, it's so
that
exciting.
Is what I love about like a rope. To me, that is the ultimate romance in a movie or a book, is that chemistry between two people that just seem so right. They are meant to be, you know, in so many ways. And when it finally happens, it's like,
so cute.
It's so cute.
Yeah, it is so cute.
So we still don't know that Hannah is Cal's daughter.
Nobody knows this.
She's just.
And Cal and Emily are sort of working things out, and they have like a little, is it her birthday? I think that they have a little thing planned for Emily's birthday.
Not yet.
Mm-mm. Not yet.
Emily and David, whatever, they go for a nice little date and it's fun and everything.
Okay.
But then she gets home from that date and she like, she just kind of realizes she's missing.
Yes. Cal. She makes up an excuse.
So she calls Cal and while she's on this date.
Was that before or after that?
It was after the day. And so Cal has been going over because she's never done the yard work and stuff. So Cal,
she doesn't know how to maintain the house.
Yeah, she doesn't. So Cal's been sneaking over late at night and doing these like 2 o'clock in the morning,
like
midnight.
Clipping the hedges.
Yeah. Clipping the hedges,
making sure
fertilizing the lawn, doing all of this.
I have to say, I was a little frustrated that she had no idea that he'd been doing that.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Come on, that's like you're not paying attention. You're not paying attention.
But how many times isn't that true with relationships? Though when you've been, especially like, you know, I mean, all of us married young, relatively young. I mean, and we were with, you know, so like, I mean,
I guess, but I just have there. Maybe that just how shows how disconnected they were in a way.
They didn't see each other to appreciate.
And I mean, is that his love language? You know,
acts of service. That is so his love language.
She wasn't picking up on that at all.
Even when he left. But she did pick up on that because that's the whole reason why, like, she called him.
Yes,
and she made up some excuse.
I need your help about the furnace or whatever it was. And
like,
it was so cute because he was in the yard doing this lawn care that she didn't know that he was doing.
It was dark outside. He could see her.
Yes.
She couldn't see him.
Yes. And she's lying through her teeth because he can see that she's just standing there and she just wanted to hear his voice. So she called up and made up this excuse about the hot water heater and the pilot light.
Mm-hmm. But knowing that it's really important, like that's his love language, and she just wanted to see
if he still loved her.
Yeah. And at the very beginning of the movie, when he has the trailer to pick up his stuff, she's told him she wants a divorce. He's moving out. He's spending a lot of energy and time trying to tell her how to maintain the yard, and she. He's not hearing her and she's not hearing him.
Oh, yeah.
She is telling him why she wants the separation because maybe she's going through a midlife crisis. Right. I don't know, Cal. I feel like, you know, she's trying to tell him her feelings and he's absolutely not listening to her.
Young. I never got to experience anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She is not hearing him at all.
And he is not hearing her at all.
They're completely talking different languages to each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I think when this kind of comes around, when they feel like they're sort of trying to understand each other's love language or even just trying to understand each other because it's important.
Well, I think for her, like going on a date with the guy, and Kevin Bacon was not a bad dude in this movie. But like, oh, but you know, like he's... You could tell that she felt this is still awkward. You know, she's like, this just feels awkward.
Well, because they're not divorced yet, and yet they're already starting to date and try to move on without that, which I think can kind of put a wrench in things too.
I feel like, you know, it's interesting because sometimes you think or people see that, oh, the grass is greener on the other side. But is it really?
No.
I mean, sometimes it's worth working through the situation you're in now because you're going to find that there's going to be problems in every relationship you have. You might as well. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm pointing at that because it's like smelling.
Yeah. Something cooking that's
yes.
like.
Yes. Yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, it just started hitting my nose.
Oh, yeah, yikes. What is that?
It's meatloaf.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's the thing that I turned the timer off. It's just now time to take it out.
Yeah, oh, no, perfect. That's what my nose is telling me.
Perfect.
You've got a great nose, girl.
Thanks, girl.
Who needs a timer when you've got Lisa around?
The timer off so
you're
when
welcome.
We interrupt our podcast, then Lisa's like, hey, what's going on over there?
I know. Oh,
but so, okay. So all this is happening, but the culmination at the end is hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Because we don't know that Hannah is Steve and Emily's daughter and she brings her home, her boyfriend, which turns into, Jacob, which, you know, then Cal is like, wait, I know type of guy you are. You can't date my daughter.
Yes.
And also the little babysitter
who's obsessed with the dad
has taken nude pictures.
Put them in an envelope.
Addressed to Cal.
Addressed with little heart glitter all over the envelope. And
the parents find
the mom discovers it. And mom, one thing about this that we really didn't discuss yet, the parents who are the couples, like couple best friends, like they had to choose a side because like when a couple splits, like can you still be friends with both of them?
I think you can.
Well, the wife didn't think so.
Yeah.
And so she said, well, we have to choose, you know.
And she basically told the husband, wife. I'm picking the wife. So
and the husband was super sad because he lost
his best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that made it even harder for Cal because he was left so alone.
Totally.
He had no friends, nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And his friend was so cute, too. Like, here's a gift from Macy's. I have to stop being your friend, but I got you a, like, breakup gift.
I know.
That was like, pretty cute. Yeah. And then his daughter.
And then
he finds out that
his daughter was obsessed with his dad's best friend.
Yeah, with Cal.
And,
yeah.
You know, who the son
so
happens
funny.
To be obsessed with the daughter. Like, there's a bunch of love triangles going on.
Oh, so many.
Oh, yeah.
So the mom discovers the nude photographs.
Yes. And she's probably the worst character
I
in the whole entire movie.
So she took these photographs, immediately shows the daughter's father these nude photographs, which I would never.
I would just have told him about them. I never would have shown
that.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine how humiliating that would be. He goes running out the house. Daughter goes chasing after him. So all at the same time, chaos converges on
yes.
the home.
Yeah, same time that Cal finds out that Jacob is Hannah's boyfriend, and
and then
the partner of the wife shows up. Right, you know, at the same time,
David shows up and
for the birthday,
and then Cal, and then Jacob is like, "This is the guy," and he goes, punches him,
yeah, because he's like, "I gotta stand up for my friend, even though my friend's being a douche to me right now. I mean, even though my friend's all excited about this, he's still my friend."
Yeah, and he's my mom, my girlfriend's mother, and then then the best friend comes. He's got the pictures. He's like, and he's like, I can't believe you.
Disgusting.
Yes. And he starts in the fight.
And he had no idea that the daughter had a crush on him. Or did these photographs existed?
Absolutely.
Like none whatsoever.
And then, I guess Cal's known that his son Ryan has had a crush on somebody, and he's like, "This is the girl. This is who you've had a crush on." It all comes out at this moment. All of the, like you said, love triangles happen at this moment.
And a huge awkward moment.
Yes, which
adorable.
Is so funny and adorable.
Yeah, but
so I think we should leave it there
because you should
watch the movie and see how they all resolve everything, all those love triangles.
If the dad absolutely does not want to have his daughter dating that womanizer.
Yeah.
And the kids want the parents to get back together. So
and does Emily choose, like, David, the, kind of a nice guy that's new and exciting? Or
and the wife, does the wife go back to her husband, or does she go with the new dating guy? Because they're both nice guys. So
they're
what
both nice guys.
Does
and,
the
like,
dad...
and Cal's got it now. He's got the riz.
He can pick up chicks, you know?
He can figure it out.
Yeah. And does, what's the son's name? The 13-year-old
Ryan.
Boy?
Oh, yeah.
Does he get the babysitter? There's just so much. And it's so sweet.
Okay. Well, should we ask the questions?
Well, I think we should ask it because obviously, like, I want to go with Hannah and Jacob.
Okay.
Because I want to leave the mystery of the other characters.
Yes, I agree with you.
To the listeners.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Cal and Emily, we're going to leave up. We're not going to touch that.
We're going to
talk about
Hottie Hotness
and Hannah and Jacob.
Yes.
Yeah.
So... and Emma Stone and
Ryan Gosling.
So is it going to happen? Yeah.
Yeah, I could totally see
it. Is it realistic that they would have ended up together?
Yeah. I could see it. They had.
I think, she never forgot him. Like, she knew he'd be. He's an easy.
Even though she played it off as like, oh, that guy, like, just picks up on her.
They both made an impression.
Oh,
yes,
sure.
She had him in her mind's eye.
Do you think he thought about her after he hit
on
her?
Yeah, I do.
Absolutely.
The
you
one
do?
That got away.
I do.
Oh, yeah. He'd never been turned down.
Yeah.
I mean, like, seriously?
He was attracted to her, and then she was smart, and she was like, no.
Sorry,
bye-bye.
He left it, like he didn't try to pursue her.
No, but I think he was, when she showed up, he's like.
Yeah, he didn't forget
her. Oh, yeah. I remember. Yeah. I'm speechless, and I will drop everything to go with you.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was hot as hell.
It was hot as hell.
So confident. And I love her. She's like, yeah, I was just like really cold and I was super confident when I first came in and hit on you. And now I'm like feeling nervous and stuff. I'm going to drink my drink and your drink. And then I'm going to ask you, how does this go down? I mean, she's so
and this is this drink that he spends all this time making. It's
yeah,
like
and
a
she's,
sugar
she's
cube.
Like, this is not then my jam.
He pours some syrup on the sugar cube and then pours some bourbon in there. And then he puts like some orange rind in it. And she's like, drinks it in one sip. And then she takes his and then, like, takes his and then slip and she's
like,
ready to go.
And it didn't turn into liquid courage for her.
No,
she was
not
like,
really.
Oh, I lost that. Yeah, they were cute.
And it was such a small part of the movie, but so impacting in a way. I mean, definitely Cal and Emily was an enduring emotional investment that we really wanted to have work out.
Yeah.
But this was something else that was so, I feel, exciting. And
this was like, okay, so we've got the young love.
Mm-hmm.
And the parents definitely have the young love.
Yes.
But over time, you know, it changes.
Yeah.
And crazy, stupid love. Like it doesn't stay the same over the course of a lifetime.
Yeah.
But with the, it's kind of exciting, that the newness and novelty.
Yeah. Just the realization that you lead and guide your relationships.
Yeah. So how do you think, how long will their relationship last? I think as the movie progresses, beyond where we stop talking.
25 to life, baby.
I think that Jacob shows up. He's a part of the family's life.
Yeah,
I think they're in.
And even though he knew his friend was mad at him, he still went to go stand up for his friend. He's like, okay, I respect that you want to, like, that you're mad at me, you will not support me, but I'm still going to support you as a friend.
And he goes,
that's honorable.
And he really is like, starts, like, you see him at all the family functions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's like, I mean, he's there.
He's at the eighth grade graduation ceremony
for the brother.
Like, I don't think he's ever done that in his entire life. His family doesn't sound like a family. His dad might have done that, but his mom doesn't sound like somebody.
No. Like,
that.
I think for him, he's found family.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so excited because he had that history with, you know, hopefully his soon to be father-in-law or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I kind of loved that they were friends.
I almost
want to say that Ryan was in with Hannah, but when he found out that Cal was Hannah's
dad,
father, that like made it like even stronger.
Absolutely.
Like suddenly he understood her in a way that you know, he was getting her and he loved it. And then he's like, oh, I get you and I get your situation more than she even knew.
Yes.
He had a totally different perspective.
Hands down,
and maybe
you
that's
are my
why,
people.
And that's why he was like showing up to everything.
Yeah,
it's like,
so
I'm here.
I loved them, and I think that they're just great, kind people. And I will give them the 25 to life. I love them so much.
I know. I love.
How spicy was this movie? Green pepper, jalapeno. I'd say I'm vacillating
between the two.
Because there was throwing against
red
walls. There was men without shirts on.
Oh, freaking. I mean, like, honestly, like, that was all I needed. For me, that was enough. ooh, Ryan Gosling without his shirt on. I'm like, yep, that's that, like,
you know what? Like, I keep getting these, like, videos of...
No, Mom without his shirt on is freaking amazing, too.
I keep getting videos of men playing rugby.
Wow. Really?
Yes. That's so random. And I'm like, guess what? I'm officially a dirty old lady because I love these videos.
Scrum. Isn't that what they call it, a scrum?
It's slow motion. They're running in slow motion and their muscles are just like flexing in a good way.
Didn't that feel like so Baywatch, or was that the show where the lifeguards and the girls' boobs would slowly go up and
maybe
down?
That's the Mel, maybe that's the Mel version that I'm getting when I watch it.
Whatever. You're a hot, dirty old lady.
And they wear super short shorts. They're,
I
love
that
you
they
know,
make the boys wear super short shorts now. Not just the women.
I watched one where this guy was like, he was upended and he was falling down like head first and his shorts came down and something else showed. What? It was great. It was a little great sneak peek. And you're like, whoa! Did I just see something? I watched that a couple of times. Like, hold on, I gotta see that again. Did I just see something?
Gosh, there's this funny video. Like, they're doing, like, the camera is panning around this person 360 degrees, and they're going through yoga poses, but he's wearing
yoga. Oh, my freaking gosh.
And the final pose, as it's, like, coming around, I think he's, like, in a handstand thing.
Oh, yeah.
And there's, like, nothing under the kilts.
Ooh, yeah.
I think that the camera stopped before you get there, but it was like,
That's funny. So funny.
Oh, shoot.
I'll find it for you. I'm going to look for that. No.
Yeah,
dirty
too
old.
Bad. I am a dirty old lady now.
You know, I never felt like a dirty old lady until Zac Efron or whatever the guy from Glee.
Zac Efron?
I can't remember.
Did you say Zanuck?
But you know, like, he was that cute little boy in Glee or whatever it was. And then I saw him in, like, The Neighbors Next Door, and like, he's a hot fraternity boy, and I'm like, hey, Zac Efron. I'm like, I know, I'm who's your mama. Cougar. I mean, I mean, he was like, that girl was only like, like, his girlfriend cheated on him in that movie. He'd so be down with me.
Yeah, jeez.
I mean, Victoria's Secret model or like middle-aged mom.
Definitely the middle-aged mom.
I'm like, you want some cookies?
Yeah.
I put instant vanilla pudding in
some cookies and milk.
Super smooth.
Do you want it soft? I can't guarantee smoothness because it's cellulite, but it's soft. I'll undercook them. I like you. I'm a little crazy.
Gross. You're so gross.
What are you thinking? I was just talking to
you. Texture cookies? Come on.
Yeah.
You can get them on all sorts of ways. You can get them crunchy and soft.
Some people like ginger snaps.
There's all types of cookies, Lisa.
Yeah.
You
don't shame. Oh my gosh. Okay. So April Stools. The X-Lax cookies. No, we used to always like, oh my god, I remember poor little Olivia, Lisa's daughter. So, you know, like Lisa and I, we have this April Fool's thing going on. But like, so we did this one time. There was these dog treats that you could buy at Petco that looked just like Cheez-Its. And Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, you didn't see the Jesus?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. I've never seen Jesus cookies at Mecca.
Out if you were giving your dog treats that looked like Jesus.
What time of year did they give those out?
Oh my God, maybe I can't say it because then I'll go to hell if I do, but
the idea's in my head right now. Okay.
Okay, we'll go there.
Jesus. So the Jesus cookies.
Forgive me, Lord.
Jesus cookies.
Okay, so dogs love them. She's Jesus.
He's Jesus. Whoa. They're called Jesus.
He's Jesus. Look just like Jesus. And so I was like, kids, we're going to take a box of Cheez-Its and we're going to dump out the regular Cheez-Its and we'll put a little plastic sack. We'll make a side sack. On the side.
It hung to the left.
I know those side sacks. And so I'm like, so when you guys go in to eat out of the box of Cheez-Its, you reach down the side of the wrapper and you pull out Cheez-Its from the side and you eat those ones. And then you can offer, and then inside the bag, you put the dog treat Cheez-Its. And then you offer your friends the dogs. You want some Cheez-Its out of the, and then they reach into the main part of the bag, not knowing that you're an asshole.
Scandalous. I did a portion the other day to eat dog treats. Just for shits and giggles.
He's like, I've already done this.
He did.
They smell like bacon. If you get good ones.
Oh, some of them smell like fish. Like
I don't get those kind. I get the kind that smell like bacon.
Do you remember when Eva used, like, they were doing the peanut butter ones? They were making homemade peanut butter dog treats or whatever?
Yeah, did those smell like peanut butter?
I don't know. But I just know that poor little Olivia was so sweet.
I got her back.
Yes, you did.
I did multiple times over.
Yes.
You've gotten Eva back?
No, me.
No,
got
her back. For the Jesus treats?
I love our shenanigans when we were neighbors. That was
awesome. Yeah, there were a lot of shenanigans. Mm-hmm. But I got her back. I, like, took Oreo cookies.
And she did.
And I, like, scooped out the cream, and then I put toothpaste in and smashed them back together.
Yeah.
And I fed them, like,
and she's,
do you think, like, oh, wow, these are new pepperminty.
Okay, so this is, like, deep layers. Like, she has... She won the all over best time one when she planted the tulips in my yard.
Yeah, I think that.
But anyway, that was a long game, and she wins. She won. But like you also, game, yeah. you also did that. You ordered us the crazy pizza, and my kids did eat it. I have that picture. I sent you the picture
the
of
crazy
it.
Pizza.
Oh yeah, you guys, you ordered us a crazy pizza.
Oh, I did.
And on April Fool's, and my kids were like, "What the fuck is this?" But they still ate it. They were like, "Watch out, Lisa, here we go." Yeah, they totally. And then you also you did the crazy pizza. Oh my God,
I don't remember.
It was crazy. It was like I'm like, seriously, kids, are you gonna eat this? Or like.
The most awful pizza toppings you can imagine.
Yes. It was like sardines with like pickles and craziness.
Oh, I love it.
Because why not?
Yeah.
And I love that the kids were like, yeah, I don't care.
We're going to eat it. Yeah. And they're like, I mean, this is a lot for my cooking. But
what about the time I took Reese's peanut butter cups and I infused like hot sauce in it?
Yeah, she, no, she got an actual needle, like,
this goes deeper than I ever thought.
Yeah. And she injected them with hot sauce in them. And then you also,
How did you get her to eat them?
You take the wrappers off. Like, you have to be very careful about how you open the package.
Yeah.
And so you can glue it back shut.
Yeah.
This sounds terrible. No one's going to ever want to eat a Reese's peanut butter cup again. Because then you can take the Reese's peanut butter cups out. Then you take the,
You took the peanut butter out?
No, she didn't inject it.
This is, you didn't know what I did.
You're quiet over there. You shit it over there. We're listening. Sit down. Miss Lisa, so, yeah, Miss Lisa, tell us about the hot sauce. How did you go on that trip? You sexy girl.
I took the Panthers off and I turned them upside down and I scooped out the
bottom. You took them upside down.
I should have
done it. Oh, yeah, Miss Lisa.
And I scooped out a little chunk from the bottom where you couldn't see them. And then I squirt my hot sauce right in that hole that I
made. You making hot sauce holes?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, we like them hot sauce assholes. I make them hot sauce holes.
And then what you do, you just
make yourself a
plum chowder. And then you put that wrap around that. You microwave it for about 5 seconds.
5 seconds.
Until you can get to read here.
What happens if you get that chocolate all steamy?
You don't get that too steamy. 5 seconds no more. And then you slip it back.
Because you know what happens
if you get
it all too steamy and stuff like that. And it's
it's a mess.
It's a mess.
I wouldn't do that. I didn't do that.
No. Don't do that. No.
And then I slipped it back into that sleeve.
Yeah. You slipped it in the sleeve.
All smooth like.
Did you like keep it all hot when it was in the sleeve?
Took my fingers and I pinched it.
How'd you pinch that again?
Right along.
Show us.
It was roughly.
Show us, Miss Lisa, how you pinched that.
Miss Lisa, did you lubricate that before you pinched it down and make sure it stayed nice?
I used glue. I used super glue. And I'm not afraid to say it.
Miss Lisa, you're saying it wasn't tight enough glue?
I definitely needed to make things a little bit more.
Had you had other things before you opened up the package a lot before?
Oh, yes.
I was
not
too loose.
Nor did I.
Well, Miss Valerie, I do declare.
Well, she's got hot sauce and you know what? I went to go eat those little
she does, she ate
those little chocolatey candy treats.
Oh, yes, and what do you think, Miss Valerie?
It was spicy. It was
really
spicy.
She thought,
this just tastes like Lisa.
She done pocket hole in the lips.
I was like, who the man did that?
Do such a thing.
She did. But, you know, I have to say, and then she snuck into my house. I was like, I got to go brush my teeth. But you know what? You know what, Miss Lisa did?
What came out of her toothpaste?
Yeah.
Mayonnaise.
Oh, mayonnaise.
She's a mayonnaise. You know, this sweet little thing, she looks so nice. She looks so nice on TV. Yeah, I know. But in real life, her hubby, who was my partner in crime, who
did team up with her.
He did team up with me a couple times. He was my partner in crime on some my little April Fool's Eve woolsies. He betrayed me. I thought I was the other woman with the April Fool's thing. He was my cohort. But no. You know what he did? I mean, like, yes, even though we fed his children dog treats. Him and Livia the next year did sneak into my house and I went jogging with their mama.
That's right.
Yes.
But it was time.
Yes, it was time. And she's like, it's a go, we're jogging. We went on a little run.
And
guess
who never locked their door?
I never lock my door. I don't even have a key for my freaking house. We go on vacation for 2 weeks. Oh my God, your son sends us pictures sometimes. He's like, hey, we're at the house. Like, your son's
while you're on vacation?
While we're on vacation, he's like, they would send us pictures of themselves in our house doing shit.
Just so you know, we're having a party in your house.
They'd be raiding our pantry and they send us pictures of them like eating.
We don't have enough food at our house.
Oh, yeah.
So we're
Logan did it. Gabe did it. I think your son did it. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I know I borrowed like cookie cutters. One time I was like, Val, where do you keep your cookie cutters?
And I'm like, whatever. Just go in there. I don't know. I didn't even know where my house key was.
Mm. Yeah. Never.
It's
so freaking hilarious.
I know. It's too funny.
Well, anyway,
yes.
this is coming up. We'll keep you up to date on the fool's jokes.
The fools.
And
I put her house on the market. I crime scene'd off her house and had crime scene tape all over her house.
Christmased it.
Oh my gosh, the Christmas blow up things. Like, we had like 12 inflatable, her entire yard was flooded with inflatable Christmas decorations.
I've heard some ideas for this year, but I'm not going to say.
And then my little...
we can this, prank all this book year. Was... Okay. This or it's not a book. It was this story. Was it, or this movie was amazing. I loved it. I loved every second of it. I laughed.
I laughed.
I don't know if I cried like the last movie, but I laughed.
Definitely not like that.
I laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed, and I cheered and I swooned, and it just made me happy. So if you all want to feel happy, and feel good movie,
you can watch this movie with anybody. It's a happy movie to watch. Yeah. You can watch it. Husbands and wives would enjoy.
We said it's a jalapeno. Yeah,
25 to life.
Do we have a favorite line? There's a lot of lines we can talk about.
Fancy face, you want to go out.
I loved human volume for her the best friend describing.
This one? When it's the day after he finds out he's getting divorced and he goes to work and they think it's going to be something awful. And they said, it could have been cancer, buddy. But it's just a divorce.
Yeah, and then they're all like clapping.
And everyone's cheering.
Congratulations on your divorce. It's not cancer.
And the couple I wrote down there were funny, maybe just like thoughtful, Emily. And I think it's just maybe what I wrote down is lines from the movie that I thought about were more in the line of them kind of talking to each other about where they were at in the relationship and maybe where they, maybe retrospective lines. Mm-hmm. Emily tells Cal, I don't know when we stopped being us. Because that's they were right. talking mm-hmm. about, you know, like, how, when did right. we, so when you are raising kids and you're in a new relationship, so, you know, it's you're all in, and then suddenly you stop and reflect about yourself and your life and you wonder, what happened to us?
Yeah, when did we start being that playful couple? That
How are we here? Yeah. Like, what brought us to this point? Mm-hmm. I thought that was a pretty good
one.
That's
really insightful.
The other one is Jacob offers to help Cal, and he says, "I'm going to help you rediscover your manhood." Mm-hmm. Because obviously he's kind of lost himself too.
Yeah.
I think that it doesn't matter, you know, men or women mm-hmm. being cheated on. I think that just might send you for a tailspin. Well, and it makes you question, you know, like who you are. Mm-hmm. And gosh, it was nice that he went to help him rediscover.
Yeah, that's really sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a sweet movie in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. So,
it was adorable. I'm so happy we watched it. I love that movie.
Here's another one. Somebody says, oh God, you should see my notes.
I can't even read them.
I want trying to show you I was trying to move on, but I don't want to. What does that mean?
Oh, yeah. No, that was him. He was like, I wanted to try to show you that I can move on, but I really don't want to move on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes more sense.
Like,
yes.
He was like,
I wanted to show you I was trying to move on, but I don't want to move on. I want to be with you.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for remembering what that was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of honesty there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I love the kid. He said, no, if you've got a soulmate, you fight for him.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah,
that was a good one, too.
I think, I don't know, there were just lots of little things like that that I think are going to be relevant because this is...
It's just a
good
show.
This is not like a rare thing. Like, this happens to a lot of people.
It does. I think,
and over the course of...
We all lose ourselves and have to refine ourselves.
We go through midlife crises.
And then sometimes you get into like survivorship mode and then it's easy. Everyone happens like ebb and flows happen in relationships. And then sometimes the ebb and flow can be so extreme because of circumstantial situations to where you're like, whoa, I thought I was, you know, sailing to the Caribbean, but now I'm going to India.
Well, I think
how'd I end up here?
The value of... the value of a relationship that you've had for a long time. It's, you know, there's, you can't find that just quickly in somebody else. Yes, it's exciting and new. I mean, as far as Cal and David, or I mean, Emily and David go.
Yeah.
But the longevity of that relationship between Cal and Emily, you know, they endure, well, they went through a lot. And how you can't just replace that
and
with
especially
somebody.
Because they didn't have any really bad things between them. It's not like, oh my gosh, we endured. One of them wasn't enduring a terrible situation for the entire relationship. Mm-hmm. It was just like, oh, we just lost ourselves. We lost us. We lost each other. We lost our relationship. It wasn't like, oh, you're a bad person. Well, I'm a bad person. You know, it was just a...
And just, they were so young.
They were
and
so
they,
young.
And you know, I mean, and he was enamored with her at 15.
Yeah.
And he knew that she was his soulmate right out the gate. Mm-hmm. But... You know, they never got to experience any other relationship.
They both had only ever been with each other.
Yeah.
And
I think that's, I mean, she's midlife crisising and she's questioning. Like, I think that happens to a lot of people when they're looking at the other side of the hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're going downhill, you know. They're like, oh, this is what I've got this much life left to live.
Mm-hmm.
I want to live it the best I can.
Absolutely.
I kept thinking of, I just pulled it up. It was a TED Talk, you got me.
You're so funny.
By Esther Perel called Rethinking Infidelity. And I feel like if people have found themselves in a similar situation to this, I think it's worth listening to that TED Talk.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Esther Perel is so insightful about, you know, this is a great opportunity for you to reexamine things.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be, you know, the end. It can be a new beginning.
It can be a new beginning or it can be the end.
It's okay both.
It doesn't have to decide the relationship. It can be a moment in the relationship.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I would encourage people who, if they've found themselves in that situation,
that's very insightful.
Go to counseling, of course, but listen to that TED Talk too. It's good. Anyway.
Well, and I think healthy and communication is always the most important thing in any relationship.
Yeah.
And healing and
Yeah. So I love this movie.
I do too.
It was
so fun to watch it.
So, Olivia, when she heard we were going to do this one, she's like, I love that movie.
I
think it's relevant for all ages.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. Great job.
Yeah. So I think next we're going to be doing we're going to answer some questions to some people who have some, give us advice. Because, you know, we can't always quantify the quality of the advice. But
And we're going to review, I think, the next episode. Actually, each of us read our own book. We went to that It's a Love Story bookstore.
Yes.
We picked out our books. We read them, and we'll each kind of just give you guys a little blurb.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That was fun.
This is so cute.
What was my book? Mine was Sex, Lies, and Sensibility by Nikki Payne.
And mine was Best, First, Best, and Forever.
Okay. What was yours, Courtney?
Secret Love.
The
Single Dad Playbook series by Willow Astor.
Oh, yeah. It's a five-book series.
Yeah, I read the second one without knowing it was the second one. There's a one precluding. There's a precluding book called...
I bet it doesn't matter what you order. You read.
I don't think it does.
Football players in a small town find chicks who are also beautiful.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That was that. That's what I read. So if you guys want to read any of those books before we talk about them next week, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Love
and
it.
And we would love your take on any of these books. I mean, this is just what we think, but we'd love to hear what your thoughts are.
Absolutely. So make sure that you subscribe.
Do you love these books? Do you hate them? These movies? Whatever. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. We don't love them all. We don't hate them all.
I love to hear why you would.
Yeah.
Why you do like it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I want to hear if you've got a love story you want to share, send that to us.
Yeah, those are my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And then if you want to ask us a question, go for it. Mm-hmm. And then be sure to rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening.
All right. Thanks for listening. Love you, gals.
XOXO.
Thank you. This was fun.
Bye.